Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addis, and this is Financial Survival brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. Our co-host today is Roger Sales. If the internet connection is working properly to Argentina, and Melody should also be here shortly. Yep, she's on the air. She's also here. She'll be here briefly at the beginning of the program. But first, I'm going to read the market report. And where is the market report? All I have to do is find it. There it is. You've got 20 tabs on your browser. Which one is the market report? All right. Gold has had a bad day. $23.90 down to $1,575.50. That's the bid price. Asking price is $1,576.50. Silver's down 72 cents. 2.57% to $27.40 per ounce. Platinum is down $20 to $1,577 per ounce. Palladium is down $13 to $772 per ounce. The metals in general have taken a significant hit. I'd say if you average those metals out today, probably talking 2% or both best part of it, 1.8, maybe 1.9%. Decline in all four of those metals on average. Dow Jones, on the other hand, up 71 points to 14,644. NASDAQ is up 14 points to 3,253. New York Stock Exchange is down 15 points to 9,093. U.S. Dollar Index is up 0.19 to 82.92. Crude oil down 9 cents to $96.98 per barrel. So it has been a unpleasant day for gold. And Melody, what do we got to say about it?
Well, it was an interesting day. They came in and they hammered it and it stayed down all day. There wasn't a lot of what I've been noticing in these markets. It's like once they're down, they're down. Once they're up, they're up. There's not a lot of movement throughout the day. It's like they make the call in the morning and there it is for the rest of the day. And we certainly saw that. And again, as usual, there really isn't anything to push these prices down. There isn't any one item or anything you can put your finger on to show the prices to be lower. Yes, we have a little bit of a stronger dollar, but it really isn't that much stronger than what we've seen here in the past week or so. You did have the euro. They came, that was down. Really, again, that wasn't much changed. 128 Is down a little bit against the dollar. The 10-year yield didn't have a lot of big move in that, 1.86 on the yield. A lot of bad news coming out of Euro, and this is just to show how insane these markets are and how much they just truly lie about them. You had the Eurozone, their unemployment rose to a record level in February. And you also had their unemployment rate was about 12% in February, unchanged from January. Their manufacturing data for March showed weakness, just like ours did. Our manufacturing data showed weakness also. And yet their stock market was modestly higher. They don't have any stock problems. So none of the information has any type of impact anymore on these markets. So it just goes to show that the fundamentals for gold and silver are still there. But we did hit a fresh 8-month low on silver, and we're looking to see the first solid technical support at silver is $27. So the first resistance here is at $27.50, so we're not too shy on that. But we have a big unemployment report coming out this Friday, and they are making this number to be the most important U.S. economic report of the month. And of course, the consensus is that non-farm payrolls is going to rise by 200,000 in March, with the overall unemployment rate unchanged from the previous month at 7.7. I have a feeling those numbers have already been leaked. And, you know, watching how these numbers move in relationship to all their phony reports and so forth, if they hit the markets early, like they have today, stronger stock market, that number is going to be bad on Friday. I think if we saw a stronger gold for this week, the beginning of the week, and a weaker stock market, they'd probably come out with a little bit better report. So we'll have to see which way it turns on Friday. And so we could see a bumpy ride, but the fundamentals are still there, folks. Remember their plan. Remember their goal. And you're not going to have the Cypriot people didn't know the day before by their Wall Streets, by the market reports, that they were going to have a crisis. We're not going to know when that crisis comes, but you can look at the disconnect of the markets of what we're seeing today. And all day long on CNBC, they paraded these supposedly smart people telling, and they bash gold all day long. So I believe they failed. Gold's only down $23. You would think, with all that they have to throw at it, that it would be far deeper in their loss today. So me, I look at it as a positive. $23, big deal.
Well, it's a significant deal on one hand. It gets people excited, but what you have to understand, people have to recognize, in my opinion, that the numbers are manipulated in the market. The Absolutely. Markets are manipulated, and it becomes something like using a thermometer, heating a thermometer in order to allegedly warm the room. If we hold a match under the thermometer, the bulb on the thermometer reads the temperature is 97 degrees. And we can all sit back and say, boy, is this warm? But the truth is the room is still 45 degrees. They are trying to heat the room by adjusting the thermometer. Rather than have the thermometer respond to the room, they are trying to use the thermometer to control the temperature rather than report it. And this is part, it works, and they have a certain amount of success with this. They are able to convince people that if the thermometer says 97, it must be hot. And it's not true. You're going to have to learn to listen and watch it. Use your own eyes, use your own ears, make up your own mind what you think is happening. Trust your own senses. You'll be able to figure this out to a great degree. And I want to, here's a report on Warren Buffett. He is one of the wealthiest men in the world, was the wealthiest. I don't know if he still is or not. But this is a Business Insider article, and the headline is Warren Buffett has two basic rules that investors always fail to follow. All right, here are the two rules. One, don't listen to forecasts, and two, don't try to time the market. Those are Warren Buffett's, one of the wealthiest men in the world, those are his two rules of investing. And what that means is, if don't worry about the forecast, say it's going up 1,000 points, down 1,000 points. Look at the fundamentals. Forget the forecasts. Look at the fundamentals and point to, don't try to time the market, meaning ride the trend. Figure out what the trend is. I am inclined to believe that the trend for gold is up, up, and eventually up and away. That's the trend. It certainly looks like it. How can there be a logical conclusion to the contrary in that? I understand that people can put a match under the thermometer and make the thermometer rise higher, or put an ice cube under it and make it fall colder and not reflect reality. But if you look at reality, is gold a solid investment or a weak investment at this time? And when I say investment, I mean in terms of 1 year, 2 years, 5 years down the road. Where's gold going to be? Is this $24 for $25 hit today? Is it going to mean anything to the a month from now, a year from now, 5 years from now? I don't think so. I don't think it's indicative of what's happening, because the fundamentals point has to go up. I know there are pressures working against it, but how long can those forces of illusion, delusion, and deception, how long can they continue? I don't know, but I don't think it can be a lot longer. So I'm not disturbed. I'm not disturbed. It fell down 25 points, $25 or very nearly.
I had one client today, Al. He says, this is the first time I've been able to buy gold under 1600. He thought it was great.
Well, I understand.
So, folks, that's
and for sensible people, yes. that's a correct,
exactly.
In my opinion, correct reaction. But you just have to watch out. You don't get panicked on this thing and do something completely stupid.
And silver the same way. You know, it's the numbers. Certainly take advantage of it. And we might see a little bit more downside. But, you know, when they hit the sector, they hit the complete sector. It's a small sector. It's easy to manipulate. So thank you, Al.
All right, Melody. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, folks, for what it's worth, the other point is when you consider the value of gold, you can consider it in relationship to the stock market. You can consider it in relation to the bond market. You can consider it in relation to previous prices. But what the reason for gold is to consider it as an investing alternative to what? To fiat currency, paper and digital dollars. Right? And when you remember that and you aren't deceived by stock market and bonds and whatever else, just compare. This is the fundamental reason you should consider owning gold. Because if you don't own gold, chances are you own cash. And particularly you own it in a bank account where today, who can even count on having that cash? Is that cash always there in your bank account? But how do you compare gold? How do you anticipate the future of gold? You measure it against the past performance of the fiat dollar. And if you think the past, as I do, that the past indicates the future, the probable where we're going, fiat dollar has to go down. When fiat dollar goes down, gold must go up. Or in a free market world, that is the truth. Manipulated market, there may be some hesitation, there may be some delay from when the fiat goes down and the gold goes up, but nevertheless, truth will out. Gold will go up. I'm not sure if Roger has made the connection or not. Roger, are you here today? I don't hear Roger.
I think I'm here, man.
Ah, you had your mute on, didn't you?
Uh-huh.
You had the mute button on. We're going to have
Frank. I think Frank had me on ignore.
Oh.
I was listening to Melody and your commentary, and I was really, it's interesting because I've come to at least understand for me that you can watch this whole scene unfolding around us, and man, it is a multi-documentary of many dramas in every direction you look. And it seems to me that this little price of gold and silver is a real pivotal linchpin in their deal right now. And they jumped on it real heavy today. You could see by looking at the graph, and like Melody said, it's been down all day, but they could only drive it down $23, okay? And every time they do this, they lose strength. Right before the show, I'm sitting here reading the latest Jim Sinclair article that's over at King World News,
yep.
And I'll just read the last paragraph here. He says, it's extremely important for people around the world to understand that if history has taught us one thing, it is that central planning has never, ever succeeded. This group of central planners will fail as well. They're designed to fail, and they know it. They are simply there to buy time before a new world currency is put into place. And you see, this is another one of their big problems because they haven't gotten the carbon tax passed yet. And the carbon tax is the linchpin to the new currency they want to bring in.
I think that might be true. In the same sense, I've wondered about that carbon tax a little bit in the past. And I think just hearing you say this today, I think that may be true. They tied the dollar to petroleum. From 1971 or thereabouts on up until Saddam Hussein started selling petroleum for euros and he began to attack the dollar, thereby attack the dollar, and one thing led to another, and here we are. Is it possible that they've found a new substance to tie the dollar to? I haven't followed the carbon tax issue. It's been on the back burner here. I haven't heard much about it for the last year, really. Maybe more than that. It was hot for a while, and then it's kind of gone cold. Is that carbon tax somehow tied to dollars?
Well, you got to remember that when Obama went through this latest inauguration, that was the first statement he made after he got the second term was going to have a carbon tax. You're seeing Gore get out and bang the drum on it again, and of course he's married his daughter into the world oligarchy there a couple of years ago, into Jacob Schiff's grandson, so they're pretty plugged in. And if you follow, I think we talked about this one time, Al, on the air, but if you go back, you mentioned all the basic fundamentals, people looking at the fundamentals. Well, part of the fundamentals is history, okay? And if you go back and look at history, in 1913, they passed the 16th Amendment, fraudulently or not, in the spring. Then they did the 17th Amendment in the summer, which severed the state's rights to have any representation there in D.C. and make them popularly elected so they could bribe them and money could control the process. And then they didn't get the Federal Reserve Act to until Christmas Eve, all right, when they just had a bare quorum and a voice vote, and Wilson signed it the next day. So if you look at that process, they had the taxing mechanism in turn first in the spring before they passed the fiat currency mechanism around Christmas. And they have to do that because it's the taxing mechanism that allows them to regulate the interest rates and all the other pressure that the money is there inside the society. If they don't have the taxing mechanism to suck it out where they can help regulate it, there's instant inflation and everybody knows where it's coming from. Now, should they not get the taxing mechanism in place and get the fiat currency mechanism passed first and then not get the taxing mechanism, that's exactly the situation they find themselves in. So it's crucial to me in the way that I understand it that they get this carbon tax through, and you're seeing a lot of screaming about it, and they forced it through the countries they control, the British Dominion-type countries, regulatorily. But they haven't been able to get much traction all over the world in their whole global warming scheme is coming apart at the seams as people walk out to get Easter eggs and they're under a foot of snow.
Mm-hmm. Well, the whole thing is becoming increasingly unstable. I use the analogy on a regular basis. Many of you will remember the old Memorex commercial. They'll set up a glass. They'll have a woman who will hit high C or whatever, singer. And when she hits that note, the glass begins to vibrate. And eventually it shatters. All right. And the question is, was this done with the woman's voice or was it done with Memorex coming through a regular sound speaker? But the point is, we seem to be living in a world that's vibrating like that glass in the commercial. We have not, the glass has not yet shattered, but it does vibrate a lot and it causes us to ask, what is going on here? We'll talk more about what's going on when Roger Sales and I return on Financial Survival in about 3 minutes. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with co-host Roger Sales. Roger is the author of From Sovereign to Serfs, to Surf. And we're talking about living in interesting times and watching the environment around us start to vibrate like one of those glasses in the Memorex commercial just before it completely shatters. We haven't shattered yet, but we are vibrating in a way that makes you wonder if we might. I've got an article talking about interesting times. We've got people in Korea, the premier of Korea, he's threatening to attack the United States with nuclear missiles, which is simply insane. The guy's out of his mind. But we have rising tensions here in the Washington Times, rising tensions on Korean Peninsula risk accidental war. That could be between North and South Korea. It could be between North Korea and the United States. We've got a missile-launching frigate, if I understand, but warship in any case that's over there. We have B-2 stealth bombers that are over in the vicinity. What's going to happen in Korea? And at the same time, we have an article about Japan. There's another article about Japan shifts from pacifism as anxiety in region rises. That's in the New York Times. Japanese soldiers dropped out of American helicopters. They're having an exercise to pound the enemy. They're concerned that China is going to try to steal land that Japan thinks is theirs. And another article, showdown looming. China mobilizing troops, jets near Korea. Huh? We have China that's getting hot and bothered, and North Korea's hot and bothered, and Japan is hot and bothered, and South Korea's hot and bothered, and the United States is right in the midst of all of it, Roger. And what's going to happen?
I don't know, but South America sure is nice this time of year.
Yeah, you take all of the fun out of it, Roger. We're
I know, man. I sit here and watch it, and you're talking about Korea, and I'm thinking, you know, there's so much other stuff that I'm paying attention to. I really haven't had time to pay attention to that, and that's what I meant by all of these dramas that are going on around us. And
that's exactly.
It's an incredible time, you know, to see this and understand it and have some encompassing understanding of it anyway. And then you and I to be able to sit here and banter and discuss it and comment on it is fantastic. I wanted to say something, though, about what we talked about in the first segment, you and Melody talked about, my 2 cents on that, if I could, is that, you know, I was smart enough. And the Bible says a wise man sees danger and seeks refuge. So if you've seeked a refuge in the past and you're sitting in a good position, God bless you, you know, that's what you're supposed to do, all right? And so that's what I did. And what it allows me to do is it allows me to have a fantastic lifestyle and wonderful options and incredible security. I don't care about the big car and the big ostentatious house and all of that kind of stuff. The ego stuff just doesn't do anything to me. To me, that's them. You know, you were talking about Satanism earlier. I heard John Deanna Spingola earlier, and y'all got into that a little bit. And we had touched on it last week with that love of self comment. And that's what it is. It's all this ego stuff. But to give you the security and the peace of mind, and, you know, if I go to the grocery store and I see something that's getting expensive, it's a nice cut of meat, I can go buy it. I don't have to worry and have second thoughts about it. And to me, that's what that affords you, all right, is the peace of mind and the security.
And you are saying by relocating, that's what you're saying allows you the peace of mind and security. Is that what you're saying right now?
Well, I could have done that up there. I could have stayed up there. Certainly relocating here where the cost of living is less gives me a little better cushion on that. Yeah.
I see. Well, it's one of these things that go in, that factor into everyone's equation for doing the best they can to take care of themselves. Not everyone can afford to relocate. But I would venture that everyone listening to this program is concerned that they have to do something. If you can't get out of Dodge, then you at least have to fortify your little bunker in ways that make it more likely that you can get through a difficult period in the future. Again, you know, it's guns, bullets, dehydrated foods, canned foods, whatever. Gold, silver, coins. You know, you need to protect yourself if you agree that our glass is beginning to vibrate as if it might shatter. It doesn't mean it will shatter. It doesn't mean we're going to see that. But if it's possible, then we have to do what we can to protect ourselves. Here's one of the things you may or may not have followed. You pay attention that the United Nations passes sweeping international arms regulation, viewed by some as Second Amendment override. That's the headline at the Washington Times. United States General Assembly on Tuesday signed off on a sweeping, first-of-its-kind treaty to regulate the international arms trade, brushing aside worries from U.S. gun rights advocates that the pact could lead to a national firearms registry and disrupt the American gun market. What do you think, Roger? Is that U.N. treaty dangerous to the Second Amendment here in the United States, or is it only international?
Well, from the brief article that I looked at, Al, it seems it was a pretty almost unanimous vote, heavily in favor of it, and that their main concerns were the illegal flows of arms to Syria and all these rebels and everything else that the CIA and all them are doing. So it's just like these guys, that's so Hegelian dialectic. They create the problem. Here's the solution they offered in this broad range, and then they pull part of it out and come back and try and apply it to the U.S. I'd say it's right within their game plan.
Yeah, it's within their game plan. It certainly doesn't do anything to increase the validity, the authority of the Second Amendment. It may not attack it right now, but it does create a background, a context within which stress on the Second Amendment is more likely rather than less likely. It can't be good news for the people who are in favor of the right to keep and bear arms. It might not be terrible news, might not be.
Well, you touched on this earlier on Deanna.
Roger, you've
you had some comment on this on the show you did earlier, and you know when it comes, I'm here, but we must be drifting out. You know, Al, we've had some problem with the net the last couple of days, so
I understand.
Just bear with us. I think it's a worldwide problem, actually. Is that all of these gun laws and everything, they're all for residents and citizens of the United States. I mean, there's the crux of the issue on the gun argument to me. they can only write those regulations and send the BATF out if you're a resident or citizen of the United States. It's this whole jurisdictional issue once again. You see,
and it's not.
What are the protocols of, say? Is it, we'll get them arguing about issues of little difference.
Issues of little importance, and they will miss the large issues.
How do these laws apply to me?
Yeah. Well, and one of the larger issues, not necessarily the largest.
It's like I said, Al, it's like...
Roger, you're coming and you're going. And you're still going. We're not hearing you.
I know, you are too. Well, I keep trying, buddy. I'm pedaling as hard as I can, but...
Yeah, I understand.
So
I follow.
You just have to wait and be patient. And
we'll watch and see if this doesn't work out. We're going to have to wait
it's
until
been
next
choppy
Monday.
Like this the last couple of days.
Well, here's an article that touches on the idea of internet to some degree. Steve Quayle's banking management sources released an alert stating that a false flag financial cyber attack is close at hand, in which Western central banks will blame the Western central banks will blame the coming financial catastrophe. They're predicting a bank hack or cyber attack on the global economy. It'll go after banks and whatever, particularly here in the United States. What do you think? They think it'll be a false flag. They think it'll be a false flag operation, and it will be intentionally orchestrated to cover the collapse of the United States dollar, at least the financial system, and probably the dollar. That's the implication of their report. Did I explain that clear enough where you follow what I'm talking about, Roger, and could you hear me?
You sure did, and I sure could, and I think that they got so many things going on. You got everything cooking through Syria. They're trying to get at Iran. They got all this stuff cooked up over there between China and North Korea and Japan, and the whole dollar thing's unraveling. So if they can't start World War III, then they probably will do this, and they may do both of them. Because they can use the bank thing and wipe out all the records like they've done in Building 7 in Oklahoma City.
Well, again, we live in interesting times. I was dealing with a report that may or may not be true that alleges, I was dealing with it earlier this morning, writing something relevant to it. And the report is that bankers are being informed by Homeland Security that Homeland Security has the right to seize any bank account or to open safety deposit boxes and seize gold, guns, and silver, among other things, out of those safety deposit boxes in the event of a national disaster. Now, according to this report, which again may not be true, this might be a false report, but it at least appears credible. It appears possible. According to this report, well, the implication is that if you put anything in a bank, you may not be able to get it back out without the permission of Homeland Security. Whether or not this is true today or not is unknown to me, but if the report is true, it implies that there is a national disaster waiting in the wings. And the reason I say that is this. The government allegedly warned bank officers and some employees who were privy to this knowledge that there's going to be a moment, or there could be a moment, where in the event of a national disaster, Homeland Security will control. No, they can take whatever's in the accounts, bank accounts, and they will control who gets access to the safety deposit boxes. They wouldn't serve that notice, even though they warned people that if they say anything about it, they'll be prosecuted under the Patriot Act. The bank officers and employees are supposed to keep their mouths shut, and of course, some of them won't. It's inevitable that if you say anything to 5 or 10 people, it's going to be on the internet within days, hours, or even minutes. There is no secrecy. Government has to know that. So if it were true that they're warning banks that Department of Homeland Security takes control in the event of a national disaster, and they're warning them, don't say anything about it, it implies that they anticipate that national disaster to appear in fairly short order. If they thought there was going to be a national disaster next October, they can't make these announcements to the banks now and expect them to remain in secret all the way up until October. They could make them now and expect them to remain semi-secret at least till after April 15th. All right. The first they collect before we, I don't expect a national disaster before April 15th. April 15th is the day all of you will, or most of you will, send in your tax money. All right. And the government won't have to fight you for it. You're just going to write the check and send them money. You're going to volunteer into it, and they're going to get it. That's the easiest money they're going to get all year. After they collect that, then in theory we might have a national disaster, assuming anybody has one planned. So the point, I don't know. You know, I think you can feel this also. I think most people can feel it. It's as if we're getting closer to that national disaster. But do you think we are, or is it just something in our minds?
I think it's unavoidable.
Yeah, I know it's unavoidable. I agree with that. But is it really close right now? Do you think it's really close, or do you think it's 6 months away or 5 years away? Where do you see it?
Well, I don't see it as that far away, and I see the glass vibrating pretty good from the standpoint of the things that they need to have aligned are not aligning properly, and that, to me, makes them doubly or triply dangerous.
Well, because they're desperate.
Correct.
All right. It's, again, I think the powers that be, I think they see themselves as having their backs to the wall. And therefore, they are desperate, and they'll do anything that they think has to be done to survive. They see their very survival is in jeopardy. That makes them doubly dangerous. They're not going to play nice. They don't have time. But if we can drag this out a little longer, they're the ones that are running out of gas, not us.
Well,
they're the ones that are losing power and momentum, in my opinion. So what do you think?
The Sinclair article basically said these guys are trying to hold their fingers in the dike. He said the Sinclair article said those guys are trying to just hold their fingers in the dike, you know, at this point. Makes you want to go live in a yurt and raise yaks, Al.
Well, I'm pretty close to that. I don't have any yaks, but maybe if you have any down there, if you have any yaks down there in Argentina, perhaps you could send me a couple. Send me a breeding pair of yaks. I could raise yaks up here in Oregon. You know, I'm built.
Oh, Al, what a time, brother. What a time.
The Al's used yaks. All right? And
hey, I wanted to mention that guy that called into Deanna's show today that was talking about the three definitions of man. I didn't write all that stuff down because I know you said you were going to chase it, and I'd really be interested to hear your conclusions on that. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I'd never heard of it before, and he'd said that one of the definitions of man was Latin term. These are Latin terms. One of them was ditas, D-E-I-T-A-S, which referred to man made in God's image. Now, I haven't been able to verify this, but he also said there was another kind of man that was recognized in Roman law, which is homo barbarus, meaning people that were ignorant, people that were barbaric, people that were crude, and there was also homo humanus. These are civilized people who were living under Roman law. We are living in a world where I want to be recognized as made in the image of God. And the government insists that I'm either a homo barbarus or a homo humanus. And I'm either subject to Roman law or, who knows, just subject to being treated like a wild animal, the barbarous. I hadn't heard of those definitions before, but we'll track them down as best we can. And maybe we'll be able to make a better report in the future.
It made a lot of sense.
Well, it made sense to me, too.
It made a lot of sense to me. On some of this reading that I've been doing, is, go ahead.
No, I'm go. Well, it part of the reason it makes sense
on each
to
other
me
a little bit. So go ahead.
Yeah, but between you, me, and the internet, we are having failure to communicate, and now Frank is magnifying the problem by insisting that we start the commercial break. So we guess we'll have to submit to Frank's will. and we're going to have the commercials. And now, I'm Alfred Addust, and Roger Sales is here. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addust here on Financial Survival with Roger Sales, my co-host. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Give Melody Cedarstrom a call. She's there now. Again, price, we had a good, gold is down $24 today. That's on the one hand, some people see it as cause for concern. Others recognize it as an opportunity. Not a bad time to jump in and buy some gold. You're not likely to see the price fall significantly below this. No one can guarantee what's going to happen, but odds are this is a great time to buy some gold. And if you agree, give Melody a call at 1-800-375-4188. We have a caller, John from Michigan. John, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. What you got for us, John?
Well, I was wondering, I wanted to ask Roger, when he's on Social Security and how,
correct.
I mean, he's getting it without any taxes have to be paid, and if that Medicare or Medicare paid, they're tied in where they usually take it out of most people, if that's involved with him at all or if it's all, he gets the complete amount.
No, I've waived all that stuff. When I applied now, and I did this a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, a little bit more, I attached my affidavit that I got my passports with to the application for Social Security, and I even wrote on there, attached to and incorporated by reference. And but I can tell you it's my conclusion that the Social Security is not the nexus to the system, and I can give you several examples of why I've come to that conclusion, my own experience being one of them. But secondly is you don't have to be a citizen of the United States, a national, or a resident to participate in Social Security. I've got a very good friend down here who's Argentinian that lived in New Jersey for over 10 years, paid into the system up there, had his two children up there, and then came back here, and he is drawing now, and they told him at the embassy, because you have to apply through the embassy when you're in a foreign country, is that because he wasn't a citizen or a resident, they may deduct up to 25% from his total. But I get my full amount, and I've just, you know, there's the health care down here is fantastic.
Okay, but you're not tied in with
so did that answer your question?
U.S. Medicaid.
Are you tied to Medicaid, Roger?
No.
Medicaid or Medicare.
No.
I mean, I don't know what it is that you get when you're tied in after you start taking Social Security.
I don't want any of that stuff, and I'm not tied into it to my knowledge.
Okay. All right. I mean, I just wanted to say maybe every so often you ought to bring this up about the Social Security because of that mixed problem that, well, we got to get rid of the Social Security number, and you are doing it, and you still have it, and, you know, maybe you just need to speak about it a little more when you're on your different shows, you know, just to inject it in. You know, I got to get rid of my number.
I do try and mention it, and there's so many, patriot misconceptions out there, and I try and give examples of all this stuff. But I would like to say this about Social Security is, you know, in those years it was taking money out of my account and they were matching it by the employers and stuff, I would have never saved that money. And here, years down the line, I'm getting to live off of it, and I don't have to sell gold to live. So to me, it's a boon right now. Now, the other side of that coin and the story that Neil Bortz used to tell all the time, when they first passed that act, there was a loophole in it. And you could opt out as a city or a municipality and form your own in parallel along the same lines, which I guess there was only one city that did it, Al. It was down by Beaumont somewhere. And even their lowest paid municipal worker gets $120,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really pleased with themselves.
Their lowest paid guys gets $120,000 a year. Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
So, you know, my little $12,000 or $14,000 and the guy there that emptied garbage, you know, gets $120,000. So there's your cost of government right there.
Well, that's there is not just the cost of government. Yeah, that's exactly right. And what you mean is the cost of federal government is so extensive that your Social Security is relatively minimal compared to what these other people who opted out of Social Security they were able to achieve. John, did you have anything?
This is what they
promised
in my way of thinking. Al, I was going to say this is the technique they've used with all this stuff. They get you to pay the excise taxes on that gasoline, and they launder them through D.C., and the same thing happens. You get back 10% of what you paid in. Okay? I mean, it's a big laundering theft operation up there.
I understand. It's a hustle, it's a con, and it gets to
a
point again.
What they don't get in D.C., they stick over it.
You're falling in and out of here, Roger.
They don't get in D.C., they stick up there in New York, and they steal it up there.
I understand.
I'm sorry, because I'm getting passionate about this, too.
That's, I think it was, who was it, Plato?
So, John, did they...
You're breaking up, Roger. I don't know if John can hear you, but you're breaking up.
I couldn't hear him either. I'll get out of here. That was basically all I wanted to ask.
All right, John. Thank you. Appreciate your call.
All right. Have a good day, guys.
Yep, you too. I've got here the Cyprus banks. Here's an article that's entitled From Financial Trend Forecaster. The article is entitled Cyprus Banks and the Rise of Neo-Feudalism.
Uh-huh.
Now, I thought that would ring your bell, and I haven't read this article yet. I haven't had time. I just have it down here. But neo-feudalism, you are of the opinion, you've expressed it before, if I understand correctly, you think that they are trying to reestablish a feudal system in this world. And here is a term, neo-feudalism. And I wonder if you've heard the term before, if it makes sense to you, if you think that's what we're... against, okay?
I have heard the term before. I think it's very accurate, and I'm far from the only one that said it, all the way from Carol Quigley and his books on up from, you know, all the great commentators of the Dale Craig Roberts and Max Kaiser and everybody else have said the same thing. And, you know, Mike, when you proposed this, it wasn't Roger that said it. It was Chief Justice Fuller, the sitting Chief Justice of the Supreme Court in the Wong Kim Ark decision. And that's exactly what he stated, and that's exactly what's happened. And
he stated what? Let's be clear. What did he state?
He stated in the dissenting opinion of Wong Kim Ark. And, you know, that's the problem, is most people don't read dissenting opinions. And I can almost quote it to you verbatim. And he said, if the amendment, it's over there on my website, you can read the whole thing. If the amendment now bears the construction put upon it, this is the 14th Amendment, it brought the common law, English common law rule, and that's feudalism, into this country for the first time, just as England was being relieved of its inconveniences. Now, he says it much more eloquently than me. There's a much preceding that. But that's the essence of what he's saying, is that if we're looking at this and making this decision that the majority decision is making, it's bringing feudalism into this country for the first time. Now, that's the sitting Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. That's not Roger.
It's a shame how little people understand about history and about law and about politics, and it's true for virtually all of us. I didn't begin to understand this until relatively late in life. I was 45 years old. I wasn't quite that old. What was I? In any case, 40 years old, thereabouts, before I started to study the law and try to put the pieces together. But it is, we're in this mess because of our own ignorance. We're in this because we didn't learn history, and it's not just because we didn't study history. It's because no one has made an attempt to teach us history in a way that's relative and interesting. We don't know anything about the law.
We've been deliberately misguided.
Oh, I agree. And they take advantage of our ignorance. And again, you know, you harp on this on a regular basis. The solution to the problem is begin to master the language to some degree, because we are ensnared by words. They use words against us. You need to be able to use words in your own defense, ladies and gentlemen. And that means you have to master the language and spend time in a dictionary and learn to speak and learn to write.
And
it's hard
to think
work.
Again. You ought to learn hard to work. Think again instead of just reacting.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Because they've got you conditioned. And all this stress that they put people under, I don't know that we've ever talked about this, Al, but I don't know, a while back I was listening to some expert on conditioning on a show, and he said something that was real significant to me. He said, they've proven that the more stress you're under, the deeper the conditioning takes effect and the harder it is to get rid of it.
That may be. I wouldn't be surprised if that's true. You don't even pay attention to them when you're not under stress. When you are under stress, you're paying attention to everyone, everything, because you're in a condition of anxiety. It may be that if they are able to control the media, they're able to control what you absorb. Here's something from the article that was written by Bill Bonner. I don't know if that name is known to you or not. He founded Agora Incorporated in 1978, and one of the largest.
He's got a bunch of property down here.
Okay, I thought you'd mentioned his name before, but I wasn't sure if you'd met him or not.
I haven't. I've met his attorney.
Okay. All right. In any case, his business on the rise of neo-feudalism. Let me just read a little bit of it. But imagine that you rely on the feds for unemployment benefits, food stamps, health care, or Social Security. Are you a free man or a serf? Smith says we live in a condition of creeping neo-feudalism. A few people own a lot of property. Most people own very little. His attention is focused on housing, where he believes the feds are quietly taking over more and more property out of private hands and putting it in the hands of rich, concentrated elites. Do you think it's an accurate description of neo-feudalism to simply say a few people own a lot of property, most people own very little? Is it that simple? Is that an accurate description?
Yep, pretty much. Pretty much that simple and pretty accurate, I think, really.
All right.
I mean, let me tell you, I'm talking to a friend of mine last night, calls me from Atlanta, old friend, made his living for 20 years. He's an excellent musician, plays flute and high-class jazz stuff and high-end corporate parties and stuff, weddings, and he also sells a frozen food package to people that buy food in bulk. He's been doing it for years. He's real good at it. And he said, Roger, I not only get, it used to get two or three leads a day. He said, I'm lucky to get two or three leads a week now, and the hardest problem we got is getting any of them qualified for credit because they can't come repossess food, and they got to have these super high credit scores for me to get through it. On top of that, where I was getting these music gigs a couple of times a month, I'm lucky to get one in 2 months, and that's corporate stuff. So the corporations are cutting back too.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone sees that little glass vibrating. You know, we keep on working, we keep going about our business as if everything is normal, as much as possible, and yet everyone, I think, senses that the little glass is vibrating, and there's a point here. Miss Shedlock made this point, and I've talked about it once or twice on the radio already, but it just strikes me as clever, it strikes me as insightful, and he said, the first law of panic is to be the first one to panic. Meaning that if you're going to panic about your money in your bank account, and that's what he was particularly talking about, if you're the first one to get in the door and pull all your money out of the bank, you may get all your money. But if you wait, if you delay, if you are slow to panic, right, by the time you get to the bank, it may be closed down. It might not even be solvent anymore. So we live in a world where all of us can see the glass starting to tremble, starting to vibrate. But how many of us will look at that and actually act on what we can see with our own two eyes? And the answer is probably not very many. We see it coming, but we're not being very prudent. Go ahead, Roger.
If any of you have shekels out there and you aren't backing it, if you aren't backing the truck up and getting as much silver as you can lay your hands on right now, you're going to look back and think you made a big mistake down the line. That's my prognosis.
Yeah, I understand. Got about a minute left.
Cyprus and all these things, Italy, Portugal, Spain, all these things. You've got runs on the banks. The EU and Europe teetering, supported by the U.S. You're seeing plans from all the countries of the world to go do the same thing they did in Cyprus. You know, I saw a cartoon somebody sent me yesterday, Al. I didn't forward it to you. I should have. And it shows the Bank of Cyprus in the cartoon on it. And the teller is behind it pointing a gun at the customer. He says, this is a bailout.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
If you've got your money in any of those banks and you don't have it,
if you don't have money
out of those banks and into something solid, you're going to regret it down the line.
It seems so. And we see Cyprus, Greece.
That's
Italy,
my word of parting on a
domino
net day.
All right. Roger, thank you for being on the program. We're out of time. Roger will be back with us next Thursday. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Alfred Addis. This is Financial Survival. And the Lord bless you, me, Roger, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.